From the Sri Satya Sai Media Center at Prashanthi Nilayam, you are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Deepak Anand. Dr. Deepak completed his MBA from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and later, on Swami's guidance, did his PhD on International Finance in 2004. Since then, he has been serving as an assistant professor in the Department of Management Studies, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam campus. This talk, titled Asking the Right Questions, was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 27th of August 2019. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, you'll be treated to some heartfelt bhajans by Miss Dana Gillespie. With that, over to Dr. Deepak Anand.
So welcome to everyone for this small study circle. Let us all offer our most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and pray to him to give us the understanding to ask the right questions. Where are the answers for life? We may have so many problems, we may have so many expectations, we may have so many desires unfulfilled, we may have so many bottlenecks and roadblocks and challenges in our lives. We all face them, isn't it? Right? We go from one round of the boxing to second round. First round is Brahmacharya, where a lot of restrictions and control by the parents, and we are made to write 1, 2, 3, ABC hundreds of times, and we grow into matured people, and the second round starts. Second round is marriage. Then again challenges start. For the first few months, few years, we are living very happily together, then differences will arise, then there is a kind of argumentation, then fights, then differences, and then we go into a job, and then the job, again the third round of the boxing starts, and we get some hits, we get some hooks, we get some ducks, and then we are again challenged. We may even be housewives. Even then, there's a lot of challenges in meeting up the responsibilities of the house and in the offices, in the workplaces, in the factories. Again, even in Satya Sai Seva organizations, there are challenges, right? Then we go on to the fourth stage, fourth round of our life, and fourth round is old age. Again, challenges, isn't it? Again, this pain, this medication, this doctor checkup, heart is weakening, exercise, treadmill, and all that dietary control, and don't eat this and don't eat that and this and that and everything. Finally, the fifth round of the life, death. And then the problem is, again, we have to restart the entire four rounds again. Where is the end to all this? How many lifetimes will we go on through these four rounds of Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Sannyasa and Vanaprastha, and again be born and again go through these four rounds once again? And every round is full of pain, suffering, challenges and problems. That is why we have to ask the right questions. And the right question is not in asking why this is happening to all of us, but asking how do we overcome and end this vicious cycle of life and death and the four stages therein over and over again. How? We always keep asking the question, why? One day there was a great administrator of the university and he took some decision and the faculty members did not like it. And one of the faculty members went to Bhagwan in darshan time. Swami used to speak to him very often and asked him, Swami, he has taken a decision like this. It has really made us feel very sad. He has asked someone to resign and go. Such an ardent devotee of yours. And even then you love him. Even then you love him. Even then you call him for the interview. Even then you don't take any action against him. Why, Swami? Then Swami said, for all the problems of your life, don't look for the answers outside, because the answers are not outside. Ask yourself how I can learn from it, how I can cope with it, how I can surrender to it, how I can use it as a stepping stone to my spiritual progress. And that is why asking the right question is very important. You look at Again, let's look back to our lives. What do we see there? In our memories, we see sometimes failures. Sometimes we see failures, isn't it? All of us aspired for something in our lives and we failed. I wanted to be the Royal Air Force fighter pilot. My dream of life was I'll fly planes. So I joined the NCC Air Wing No. 1 Delhi Air Squadron. I was cadet sergeant and I was really hoping that I will get into the Indian Air Force and I will fly the fighter jets, right? And that's going to be an amazing fulfillment of my dream. But then came my glasses and my dream was shattered. And the Air Force Academy told me, with these glasses, you are not qualified to fly. We will give you ground duty. And I said, I don't want to remain on the ground. That is why I wanted to join the Air Force. And then I said, okay, what's my next dream? I wanted to be a professional table tennis player. I played the nationals representing Delhi. And I wanted to make it my profession. I got job offers from a bank, from the Indian Railways. And I went to my dad with his application and said, Dad, I'm getting employment offers as a professional table tennis player from the Indian Railways and from the Dena Bank. Should I join? And Dad said, leave your table tennis racket with me and get into studies. And I was heartbroken. I said, but Dad, why? He said, what is the post that you are getting? Junior clerk. And you will retire as senior clerk. That is all is the future of your career. And I don't want my son, who's so capable, to live and die as a clerk. Leave your table tennis racket. Start studying. I said, but Dad, you know I don't like to study. I just want to play. I just want to fly. I like extracurricular, cultural activities, all this. Studies is not, you have seen me struggle with my academics and just passing the examination. You think I can study? Dad said, yes, I will make you to study. Sit here and close the door till you learn to read. I will not let go of you. And today I've got 4 masters and a PhD and he made me to study. We see failures in our life, what we wanted to be and what we have become. We find that, you know, and I ask myself, why? Why did I not be able to achieve? I was selected for the Air Force for 1 examination. 2nd examination, I had my glasses on and I was denied the opportunity. Why did it happen in such a bad way? But today when I look back, and then when I did my academics and I started to come to Puttaparthi and we came in the contact of our spiritual master who guided us to Bhagwan Baba, and we came here and Bhagwan came for darshan in Vrindavan, and the only dream now I had was I wanted to get an MBA seat in Swami's college. And in 1992 in Vrindavan, when Swami came for darshan, I got up on my knees and said, Swami. And Swami said, what? I said, Swami, please give me a seat in your MBA college. And Swami said, zarur. He looked towards another person, took the letter, looked back towards me and said, zarur. I said, God, I got 6 yes from Swami, 6 assurances from Bhagwan that he will give me an MBA seat. And then I thought, okay, I was that time in a BCom honors graduation second. I thought, okay, anyway, Swami has given his word. It is the Lord's word. I will certainly get MBA seat in Puttaparthi next year. Apply, no reply. I got a job that year. I did my master's just to be getting a first division to be able to apply for this college. But even after getting a topping my university in MCom, I did not get. My application was rejected. After 6 years, suddenly, my application got accepted. I came here. I sat in front of Bhagwan. I said, Swami, you told me in 92 that you will give me a seat in MBA. I got in 97. Swami, 6 years. And Swami said, 6 times zarur bola na. 6 years mein mila na. Oh, God. I failed to ask the right questions and I suffered for 6 years asking, why have I not got the seat? Why Swami has not fulfilled his word? Why Swami told me that he will give me an MBA seat? Then why have I not got it? The answer is never in asking why. The answer is always in asking how. Kyun nahi? कैसे, द आंसर इज हिडन इन कैसे, इन आंसर इज हिडन इन वाई, इन हाउ डू वी डू इट. एंड दैट इज व्हाई स्वामी सेज, व्हेन यू हैव ब्रोकन रिलेशनशिप्स एंड यू आस्क योरसेल्फ, ओके आई फेल्ड इन माय कैरियर, आई बिकेम अ प्रोफेसर आई नेवर वांटेड टू बिकम, I want to become an Air Force pilot or a player, but I became a professor. Fine. But now when I look back and I look at my life and I said, what happiness would I have received in being an Air Force pilot and what happiness I received in being a professor in Bhagwan's tuition? Oh God, thank God I failed my examination. Thank God it took Swami 6 years to answer my prayers, because the year I passed my MBA, Swami started PhD for the MBA boys. Had Swami called me even 1 year earlier, today I would not be where I am today. And that is why when I fail to ask the right questions, I go into unasked and unwanted suffering. Because we don't know what God's plan is. God's plan is not to give me the best career. God's plan is not to fulfill my desires. No. God's plan is to put me in those circumstances where my spiritual progress will be maximized. Bhagwan ko hamare adhyatmik unnati mein dilchaspi hai, hamare career ki fulfillment mein nahi. He wants our spiritual fulfillment more than our fulfillment of our desires. जब बच्चा, when the child asks the mother, मम्मी मुझे ये चाहिए, मम्मी आई वॉन्ट दिस, मम्मी आई वॉन्ट दिस, मम्मी आई वॉन्ट वन मोर चॉकलेट, डज द मदर फुलफिल ऑल द टाइम? द चाइल्ड इज हैविंग फीवर, द चाइल्ड इज सिक, चाइल्ड इज हैविंग इंडाइजेशन, डायरिया, एंड सेज मॉम पिज्जा चाहिए, पटक पड़ता है. द चाइल्ड क्राइज एंड सेज मॉम यू डोंट फुलफिल माई डिजायर्स, वाई? Mom says, it is not important how I fulfill your desires, it is more important how you get cured. We are born in this earth, we are reborn in the mother's womb, means we have not understood the purpose of life so far. That is why we are born. Had we understood, we would not have been born, we would have got moksha, we become merged in Swami. And that is why Swami says, don't ask why to God, ask how. Understand, contemplate, and ask the right question, then only you will get the right answer. Second aspect of our life, we look back again. Relationships gone bad, gone sour, broken, shattered. Areva. We had a relationship of a lifetime. In 1 minute, in one argument, that relationship is broken forever. And you ask why? And you ask why this happened? Is there an answer for that why? If you keep asking why it happened, why it happened, why it happened, why it happened, it will not mend that relationship back. How will it get mended? And how will you reconcile to it being broken? By asking how do you move forward? If that relationship can be mended, how do you move forward towards it? If it cannot be mended, how do you reconcile with it? The answer will lie in how. And Swami will always keep telling. Relationship break because you pull too much and bend too less. Again, I'll repeat. Swami said, relationship break because you pull too much but bend too little. If you all learn to pull little and bend more, every relationship will remain perfect. Go back and see again. There was a time when I was the lead role in a drama. And drama, I was a secretary of a company and I was doing very good work in society and the whole society was appreciating me in the drama. And I will go and they will put me on the stage and honor me and say, see this particular person, the municipality chairman is doing such great work and he's a very honorable man. When I will come back home in the drama, my own son will ridicule me, shout back at me, be disobedient to me. And I was wondering, who wrote this script and why did he write it like this? Why am I being insulted when I come back home, when I'm being respected, when I'm in the society? This question was in my mind. In any case, Swami was calling us for the rehearsals in the interview room. So scene by scene, we will have rehearsals in front of Bhagwan sitting on his chair in the interview room. Small room, but we'll take it scene by scene. So that particular day, this scene was enacted. When I come back home and I advise my son, "Son, focus upon your studies." And he answers back and says, "Dad, you must focus upon your job. You're going around like a big hero in this thing, but I don't think you're doing your job properly." I said, "No, no, son, I'm doing my job properly." He said, no. "What is the use of all this? You know, you should make more money. My friends' fathers are all making corruption money. You are not doing anything for me. You're not buying me a car, not buying me a mobile phone. What is the point? You'll be getting all his garland. What they will..." And he kept on in his dialogues, in the drama, insulting me. So I said, "Son, you must understand the value, meaning of values and this thing, purpose of life and how they are important in your life." But he doesn't listen. So after the rehearsal was over, in the interview room, we all sat down. And Swami was sitting in his chair. He saw the drama, the scene. And then, now look at that. What we are discussing is, how do we pull less and bend more? Right? Look at Swami's examples. How he always bends more and pulls less. He is God. He can say, "Hey, do like this." And we'll all feel honored, isn't it? Swami had given us a command. We will ask Swami, no, "You will not do, you please, you must say, tell us more politely." We never say that. Swami, whatever Swami says, we'll follow his instructions. But see how Swami responds and presents before us a beautiful example. And Swami called me closer. He said, "Hey, Deepak, come here. So I sat in front of Bhagwan, very close to him. Then Swami came to the edge of his chair, bent forward, and said, "Deepak, good acting. This scene was nice. If you don't mind, can I make a suggestion?" Bhagwan of Baba, the Purnavatar, he's telling to an actor in the drama, "If you don't mind, can I make a suggestion?" He says, "Swami, please give the command." No. Your role will be affected. That is why I must take your permission first. God needing permission? God, the director of the entire cosmos, with millions of worlds rotating on his fingertips, he tells a mere human being who's just acting a particular role, "I need your permission." And then Swami said, "If you don't mind, I think this boy who is acting as your son, we can give him another role. He is not fitting in very well, isn't it?" I fully agreed. I was already in my mind. I said, "Yes, Swami, yes, whatever you will, Swami." And Swami said, "See, I must take your permission first because even your role is affected by it." Swami, what? "Pad Namaskar, Swami, that's all you give us. You don't ask us for any permission." And then Swami told the director of the drama, who was our English professor, "Make this change. Give this boy another role. He is not fitting in very well." Once Swami was going in his car. The car came to the portico. And he was sitting there. Suddenly Swami asked me, another boy sitting along with me, a research scholar, "Come here, both of you." So we ran. And Swami said, "Sit in the car." Oh, wow. Great. A joy ride in Swami's car. Amazing. And that time the Sai Manonmayi nurses' quarters near Super Hospital were under construction. And Swami wanted to go and supervise that and bless the workers. So we loaded in Swami's car and the jeep behind, and the clothes, the food packets and laddus, and then we just sat in Swami's car. So we all distributed, everybody was very happy, they were given the food prasadam, Swami gave them Pad Namaskar, Swami blessed them, Swami took their letters, everybody was very happy. The whole distribution was over. And Swami, we came back. And as we were coming back, we did not come by the main road. We went from the petrol bunk towards the West Gate side, right? And West Gate side, we have what is called the Swami's orphanage. It's an orphanage that Swami had built. Many of you would know that it is not very functional now, but it is a beautiful concept that Swami had created, where so many students were educated. And they were given education of a very, very high quality and taught computers. And 1 lakh rupees was put in their accounts. and they were blessed in every way. Swami used to call them and they used to sing for Swami, and the whole, you know, those orphans, children from the surrounding areas who were given the accommodation here with one of their parents each, they were extremely happy and they were very blessed. And that time, the orphanage was just inaugurated and we were just passing by the orphanage. Suddenly Swami asked me, what is the name of this orphanage? What is the name of this orphanage? Suddenly Swami asked me the question. I had just listened to the name of the orphanage. It is a very complicated name. Anyone knows the name of the orphanage? No, even now I can't pronounce it. Swami asked me, what is the name? Suddenly I mumbled, Sri Satya Sai Dinandharana Padakam. Swami laughed at me and said, Chudra, Satyaji Chudra, Atla Chaptunadu. I told them, just call it Satya Sai Orphanage, but they get such a complicated name. And I was surprised that Bhagwan had suggested a particular name, a simple name, Satya Sai Orphanage. But those people who were involved in building this suggested to Bhagwan a very difficult kind of a name, which Swami accepted. And Swami told, I told them to keep it Satya Sai Orphanage. See, Deepak is not even able to pronounce the name. See how difficult it is. And Swami always, I have seen in my life, how Swami will bend more than pull. And that is why, if we look back to our lives and our failures and our relationships, we should ask ourselves, did I pull more and bend less? Maybe I should have pulled less and bend more. Why? Because you are a unique personality. All of us are unique. Everyone has got different opinions about every issue. And you cannot convince anybody in this life completely on any particular issue. What is better, gulab jamun or rasgulla? You come and argue with me. We will fight for 100 years. There will be no conclusion. On a simple issue like this, when we live together in relationships, is it possible that one person who has gone through a million years of evolution comes together here, another person with a million years of evolution come together here, can they be on consensus on any issue completely? It is impossible. One day one devotee who was from a foreign country, he was doing some service in the ashram and he came to Bhagwan, he got an interview and he said, Swami, I can't do this work anymore. Swami said, what happened? Swami, even in the ashram there is politics. It's better that I die and I merge in you. Then Swami said, after you leave your body, where will you go? Swami, I will live in happiness in the heaven. Swami said, in the heaven, politics is 100 times more than this. You want to go? And Swami, no, Swami, I'm comfortable here only, Swami. If it's 100 times more politics in the heaven than it is in the ashram, then I am comfortable in the ashram, Swami. Because it is not possible for complete consensus. Are you in consensus with yourself upon a particular issue? Tell me one particular issue. You say, this is my stand. And for lifelong, the stand will not change. It is impossible. Swami says, your life is a circle. Life is a circle. A person who's good can become bad tomorrow. A person who's bad can become good tomorrow. A good person can become a sage tomorrow. And a sage can fall down to a human level tomorrow. And that is why, if we are judgmental about others, more than we are judgmental about ourselves, we will ask the wrong questions. And we will ask, why this that circumstance is not correct? Why this person is not behaving in a proper way? Why this particular place is stinking with so much of bad smell? Places, persons, circumstances, we all keep asking why are they not perfect? But what is your vision of perfectness? Your vision of perfectness is not born out of the other people. It is not born out of the other circumstances. It is not born out of the other relationships. It is born with yourself. And one day I was going with a sage. We had gone for the Badri Kedarnath trip. And we had gone to Haridwar, Rishikesh, Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Yamunotri. And we are going by Haridwar, and Haridwar, the beautiful Ganges was flowing. Hundreds of people, you know, chanting the Vedas, chanting the mantras, doing their penance, meditating. And they were reading the Bhagavad Gita, and they were such a beautiful environment. And as you are walking from the bank of the roadside, from the edge of the roadside to the banks of the river, I saw that there was a heap of garbage, stinking with dogs and pigs and flies and bad stench. And along with me was a Mahatma, a great sage, who had joined us for this particular, also a devotee of Bhagwan, who had joined us for this particular yatra. And I looked towards him and said, look at this. Even in a place like Haridwar on the banks of Ganges, look at this stink, look at this dirt, look at the dirty pigs. God, it's so bad. And I looked at the Mahatma and he said, I was wondering why he's laughing at me. And then he asked me a question and he said, oh, God has appointed you as a garbage manager of Haridwar, is it? Focus upon the garbage. I am going to sing the glory of the Mother Ganges and take a holy dip. You stay here. And I got a shock of my life. I said, God, having come to even the most sacred place, my vision is why? I am not focused upon how to make the best use of coming to the Ganges. I am not focused upon making the best use of coming to Prashanthi Nilayam. I am still finding faults with people, places and circumstances. Then what is the use of coming to Prashanthi Nilayam? If I am only focused upon the faults, if there is a beautiful white screen and there is a black dot, why am I focusing upon the black dot alone? Why am I not focused upon what I can receive in whiteness from the entire screen? The question is, am I asking the right question? Sometimes if we become selfish about our spiritual progress, I think we'll do the world the greatest good. The question is, Swami says, ask yourself how you can use every moment, how you can use every place and circumstance and relationship and learn the lessons therefrom and how you can grow further. Because people, places, circumstances will never change for you. They have never changed in the past. They will never change for you in the future also. That is why in the present moment, please don't think about your regrets of the past or apprehensions about the future. Think how in this particular moment, here and now, you can make the best use of the given circumstances for your spiritual progress.
Hare Sai Krishna Hare Sarva Dharma Priya Sai Hare
Rama Hare Sai Krishna Hare Sarva Dharma Priya Sai Hare
Rama Hare Sai Krishna Hare Sarva Dharma Priya Sai Hare
Sai Hare Rama Hare Sai Krishna Hare
Krishna Hare.
Rama Hare Sai 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 Krishna Hare.
You are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
A great master in Mumbai, a Sai devotee, went to him and asked him a particular question. He was an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, but he was very vexed with the behavior of his wife. It can happen even the other side. Wives can be very vexed with the behavior of their husband sometimes, because differences arise in a married life. And he went to the master and said, "Master, master, master, please tell me why my wife is like this." And the master said, "Because the universe is like this. For your wife to change, the whole universe must change. Why? Because your wife is not the product which was created after your marriage. The wife is a product of the millions of lifetimes of evolution. And that is why if you want to change her tomorrow, it will never happen. And what you can change is only yourself. Learn to understand a bigger picture." And that is why sometimes we fail to understand the bigger picture. We ask the question why, but we never ask the question how. If a relationship is soured, if a relationship has gone bad, if a goal in life has not been achieved, what can I learn from it? If I make a mistake, no problem. Have I learned from that mistake never to make a mistake again? Then that particular mistake is a source of great spiritual progress. I have learned. Tell me which great person in this entire world about whom we read about in history has never made a mistake? My experiments with truth by Mahatma Gandhi, whom we call the father of the nation, his photographs are printed on every currency note that we have, that has got value. Has he not confessed about the great mistakes that he has made? They all confess about that they have made mistakes in their lives. Even Bhagwan was very open about a mistake that he made in his own life. Swami never said, "I never made a mistake." When Swami was going to the Pushpagiri fair as a scout leader and he wanted to go and serve the people coming to the fair in very large numbers, Swami sold away his old books to get some money for the fair that was taken away by his sister-in-law, and then he had no money with him, not even a single penny. And he had made a commitment that he will come and serve in the Pushpagiri fair as a scout. He had only one pair of clothes and he had no money at all. How will he fend for himself? And many of his friends said, "Raju, come, we'll give you the money. Raju, come, we'll give you your scout dress." He said, "No, I will come and serve as a scout only in my dress. I don't want a new dress because I can't afford it." And when Swami was not able to afford the bus fare, Swami walked. Swami walked 70 miles and he wanted to still serve. And he had no money for food. At one time when Swami was so tired, he sat on the banks of Chitravati and he found that in the sand there was a penny and there was some other a smoke. And Swami threw away the smoke in the water and took that particular penny. And there was somebody who was doing gambling and he said, "Place your bets on any number. And if you win, it becomes three times, four times." Everybody placed their bets. And Swami won. And Swami said, "I made that mistake in my life. It would have been better for me to die of hunger than to place my bets in a gambling round." So everyone makes mistakes. But still, there are great people who are venerable to us. Why? Because they understood that they are making a mistake. And they said, "How we can rectify it?" One day a great academic who was part of the evaluation of the university's functioning, he came here. And that person had the habit of taking snuff. And his handkerchief was all filled with red marks, because he will then blow his nose and there'll be red marks on his handkerchief. And Swami called him for an interview. And Swami said, "See, look at your handkerchief. It's all red with snuff marks. It's not a good habit. Leave it." And when Swami took his handkerchief, it was red with pan marks. And Swami said, "I am not qualified to give him the advice. Even I eat pan." Yes, pan is a very benign habit, because Swami says good for your digestion, good for your health and bones. It is good for you in a way if you take it in only in the with only three things, right? So the basic ingredients. And Swami said, "I am not qualified to tell him that his handkerchief has got red marks when my handkerchief also has got red marks." And Swami, at that very moment, without being asked, left his habit of partaking pan. And that is why sometimes when we have our weak moments, sometimes when we have our sour relationships, we should only focus upon how we can make an improvement in ourselves, how we can go forward and have greater spiritual progress. Once you were in Kodaikanal, and once we're in Kodaikanal, we are very keen to have a picnic with Swami. One of the most looked forward opportunities is going on a picnic with Bhagwan. And we are praying, "Swami, let's go for a picnic. Swami, let's go for a picnic." And Swami said, "Yes, let's go for a picnic." And the next day, Swami called the local police chief, the inspector, and said, "Do you know all the ways to this particular place?" "Yes, Swami, I know the way." And Swami said, "Okay, now tomorrow, you have to lead the convoy. We will all follow your police jeep and we'll go to this particular spot where we can have a nice picnic." He said, "Yes, Swami, I'm ready." Nighttime, there was rainfall. But early morning, we were all very enthusiastic. Rain had stopped. And we all went in our Swami's car, and then followed by police jeep, and then followed by our bus. We all followed Swami. But as we started moving towards the hill, we found that the entire journey was blocked because of tree branches having fallen down and some little landslides happening. So for next 3 hours, we were just picking up the tree branches and putting them aside. We were just pulling out those stones from this thing. And after 3 hours of journey, we were still nowhere. And we were wondering, "God, what is this kind of a picnic that we are having with Bhagwan?" And then Swami came into our bus and he told about this police officer. And he said, "See, this police officer has not done his job well. He should have done a survey of the entire path in the morning itself and made sure that the path is cleared for all of us to go. But he has not done this. He has been very careless about it." And we all thought, the moment we reach that particular picnic spot, the police officer will certainly get scoldings from Bhagwan. And the moment we reached halfway through, Swami said, "Okay, it's a very good place. Let's all enjoy here. Please all come out." And the moment Swami came down from our bus, he said, "Where is the police officer? Where is the police officer? Bring him, call him, call him, call him." And we were thinking, "God, now the police officer is up for some punishment. Swami probably will tell him that he has not done his homework properly." The moment the police officer came, Swami held his hand, blessed him, made vibhuti for him, then made a beautiful diamond ring for him, and then posed with him and told, "Boys, come on, take photographs. Come on, take photographs." The question is, if we ask why it happened, why not did we do this thing, why our picnic got spoiled? No. The right answer is how we can make everybody enjoy in the present circumstances. And that is dharma. Swami says dharma is asking the right question. How is the right question? In the present circumstances, Swami says the dharma is defined as what? Dharma is how can I maximize the value addition to current circumstances for the benefit of all as an offering to God. The way Swami defines dharma, in very simple words, the whole of Shastras, Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, you all read, sometimes very confusing the meaning of dharma. Dharma is not just righteousness. Dharma is, Swami says in English, simple English, how do you maximize the benefit in every circumstance for the benefit of all as an offering to God? And that is why we see Swami, that in every circumstance, in every situation, Swami would like to maximize the joy of others. And with no, that I have done it. There's no feeling of I-ness. One day when Swami was, we were all sitting for Shivratri, and Swami was suffering a lot with the Shivlingam emerging down his gullet. and he was drinking the warm water, and I was sitting right in front. And suddenly, lo and behold, I saw that the entire scenario before my eyes was changing into a golden light. Everything seemed to be constituted with golden light. And suddenly Swami appeared as Lord Shiva with Jata Juta, Rudraksha, and a garland of a snake. And I was aghast. And Swami, I looked at Swami like this. And suddenly Swami as Lord Shiva, he said, "Come here." And there was that time there were no railings in 1999. And as I'm from the first row, I'm walking towards Bhagwan, moving forward. I'm seeing Swami again, everything. The golden light is receding. And Swami is becoming normal and normal and normal and normal. And I bent before Bhagwan. And I said, "Swami." And Swami asked me a very quaint question. Swami said, "Are you thirsty?" My tongue had stopped working. And I could not answer. I tried, but I could not answer. Swami asked me again, "Hey, you are thirsty? If you are thirsty, go and drink water." And I said, "Swami, I am thirsty for your love and grace." Swami said, sit down. I sat next to Bhagwan for a few minutes. And then Swami asked me after some time, "Go and take your seat." So I came back and took my seat. And after some time, the golden Shivlinga emerged out of Bhagwan's mouth like a ray of light and fell in front to the boy next to me, who picked it up. And Swami put it back, you know, on his glass, where a small garland was kept. Swami kept it there. But after this had emerged, suddenly Swami became unconscious. So some of us rushed with Swami's wheelchair to the interview room. And when we went inside, another Shivlingam, a Jyotirlingam, emerged from Swami's mouth. And the moment the Shivlingam emerged and Swami gained his consciousness, Swami first told Anil Kumar, "Sir, Anil Kumar, go outside and tell, one more Shivlingam has emerged and Swami is fine." And I was in tears looking at Bhagwan suffer like this, but he was not concerned about his own discomfort, his own struggle, his own pain and suffering. He was focused upon how the devotees are feeling, how they may be wondering what's happened to Swami, why Swami became unconscious. "Anil Kumar, go and tell and announce the devotees on the mic immediately that Swami is fine, that Swami became unconscious because one more Shivlingam emerged from his mouth and now Swami will come out again for darshan. Go and tell them I am fine. Go and tell them about fine." This is the message of Bhagwan's life. How we can give. When Swami would suffer, he'll suffer alone. When Swami will give joy, he'll give joy to everyone. That has been the principle of his life. One day when we were, it was Guru Purnima time, and we were all inside with Bhagwan, Swami was telling us to give a speech about the Gram Seva, and we were all practicing and rehearsing, and Swami was listening to us. And we suddenly saw one day Swami's voice was very, very feeble. He was not able to speak at all. His cords were all caught up. And we said, "Swami, what happened? What happened to Bhagwan's body? You're not able to speak at all. You're just struggling to whisper." And Swami said, see here. Swami raised his hair from the back. And here it was, a big mums, a big granite-like red mums on behind Swami's ears. And Swami said, "I am not able to speak because my vocal cords are all caught up." I said, "Swami, Guru Purnima is coming. Swami should not give a discourse." And Swami said, "How can I not give a discourse? All the devotees are coming to listen to my discourse. And if I do not give a discourse, they will feel disappointed." I said, "Swami, with this condition, how will you be able to?" Swami said, Come what may, I cannot disappoint my devotees. We gave our speech about Gram Seva. It was very nice. Swami blessed us all. And then Swami asked us to place the discourse table. And we were aghast. We said, "Swami, if you speak in this condition, the whole devotees across the globe will be alarmed. They'll feel very sad that Swami has got this kind of a condition of his throat." And lo and behold, Swami gave a 1.5 hour discourse with such a beautiful voice. We were all surprised. And we said, "Swami," when we came back and Swami called us to the interview room, we were so happy. We caught his feet. We were crying nearly and said, "Swami, how it became possible?" You have cured yourself, Swami. You have cured your body of the mumps. And Swami said, see, here it is. It is still here. He said, Swami, then how were you able to open your voice? Swami said, I was practicing the entire night to speak, but when I was not able to get my vocal cords to open up, I hit my mums repeatedly till I pushed it back and was able to open my vocal cords and be able to speak today. I said, Bhagwan, even touching mums, and mums are always in for children and mums are never for elderly people. And Swami said, these children in the school, primary school, were suffering with mums, and I had sent Vibhuti to be mixed in the water. And I told Muni, give this to the boys who are suffering. They will be cured. But where did the mums go? It's here. And that is the principle Swami always lived by. Suffer alone and give joy to everyone. One day, as the Padseva festival was over, and you know, all these Madurai, Chettiar and the Paduka Trust people had come, and they had done a beautiful function here, and everybody got their sandals made with silver and copper and gold, and Swami, they all did all the pujas, and Swami blessed many of the Padukas. He went around all of them and he blessed them. And then they had got certain gifts. They were all lying scattered in the Poonchandra, and Swami called us MBA boys and boys. Swami said, boys, segregate all these gifts. Put all the pencils and rubbers and pens separately. Put all the coins separately. Put all the clothes separately. Text in the books, notebooks separately, so that they can be sent to all the institutions for utilization. So we did all this work. Swami was very happy. He called some of us to the interview room, and we were all very happy that, you know, we had done the work to Swami's satisfaction. Swami asked, so you saw the Paduka festival, Mahotsava? I said, yes, Swami. Then Swami said, what is Pada Puja? What is service to the lotus feet of the Lord? And I was that time massaging Swami's feet. I said, Swami, this is Pada Puja. Swami said, no, wrong answer. This is not Pada Puja. And Swami gave a very beautiful reply, and Swami said, see, when the Lord incarnates on earth, he keeps his feet on the sands of time. His right feet is love and left is service. Then the next step is greater love and greater service. Greater love and greater service. Still greater love and still greater service. Follow the footsteps of the Lord and reach him. That is true Padseva. Follow the footsteps of the Lord and reach him. That is true Padseva. And that is why sometimes we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves. Instead of asking the question, why, can we follow the example of Bhagwan and increase the level of our love, the expansion of our love, the selflessness of our love, and put that for others as service? The greater we love, the greater we will serve. And then, how does service help us? Service helps us to be really become empathetic and one with the person to whom we are serving. That expansion of love automatically happens. And when that happens, we will feel oneness with the divinity in every person, with every place, with every circumstance, and in every relationship. And once that happens, and that we'll be able to achieve the goal to our life. And that is why Swami constantly asks us, don't ask why, ask how. Swami says, Swami, in his all his discourses, constantly reminds us that you must ask the right question. And the right first question Swami says, always ask is, ultimately you have to ask the final question, who am I? Who am I? And we consider ourselves to be so many things, so many positions, so many bank balances, so many relationships. But ultimately, beyond all these possessions, all the mental, intellectual capability, emotional and character abilities, what are we really? We saw that great finance minister, Mr. Arun Jaitley, he passed away day before yesterday. And he was known for his patriotism. But once he is gone, where is the patriotism? It lives in thoughts of others. He was supposed to be very sharp mind, very witty in his response. When he'll give interviews to the television channels, he'll be very witty. very good presence of mind, good intelligence. But today, where is the intelligence of mind? Where is the wittiness? Where is the intellectual capability? He had a lot of abilities, right, in terms of public speaking. Where are these capabilities now? And that is why we have to ask ourselves that in spite of this body being there, the mind being there, physiologically, intellectually, you may say the body and the mind exist. The brain is there. The body is there. But where are the emotions gone? Where is the capability gone? What actually is gone missing? And Swami says, if you keep on asking yourself, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Finally, you'll get the answer that I am I. That the basic instinct that arises, that I am. You have an emotion. You have a desire. And then you ask yourself, who has this desire? And the answer is, I have the desire. And the next question is, who am I? Suddenly there'll be a silence in the mind, which will actually take you down from the intellectual to the heartfelt realization of who you really are. To live here constantly, to live from the heart, is to get the answer of how to live your life. It's a simple process, because most of us, we all live from our mind, but the answers are not in the mind, because the mind and intelligence keeps changing all the time. Emotions keep changing all the time. What is inconsistent can never be the answer. The answer can only be which is consistent. And that is why what is consistent is your own reality. But how to go to the reality? Go to the reality can only be when I cross over from the body, mind and intelligence and emotions and come back to the core, which is within. That is why Swami says, all the answers are within you. Ask yourself, who am I? Where did I come from before I was born? And where will I go after I die? Everybody who is born has to die one day. In the middle of always, Swami says, always remember, A for always, that between B for birth and D of death, we have a sea of choice. And that sea of choice is that we can either live our life without thinking, or we can ask ourselves the right questions to know the ultimate answer of who we are really. Once we were sitting with Bhagwan and we were talking about, Swami's physical ailment. Swami is looking at his hands like this, as if he was looking at his hands. Oh, these are my hands, right? On many occasions when we were sitting with Bhagwan, Bhagwan will not be in his body. Bhagwan will have no body consciousness. One day Swami called us very early in the morning for darshan, and we were all, I want to do Pad Namaskar to Bhagwan, but Swami's feet were absolutely cold. There was no life in Swami's feet at all. And Swami opened his eyes and asked me to move a little backward, and I refrained from touching his feet. For nearly 45 minutes time, Swami was like in meditation, keeping his hand on the sofa and just lost somewhere. And then when Swami came back, he took a deep breath and asked, what date is today? We said, Swami, this is the date. And Swami said, what happened on this day? He said, Swami, we don't know what happened on this day. Swami said, this is the day that the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. I was in Osaka with my children who were praying to me with lighted candles that such a catastrophe should never befall humanity again. That nobody should suffer the pain and the agony of a nuclear war. I was with my children in Osaka in Japan, listening to their prayers. I was not here. On how many occasions have you seen Bhagwan telling about things which are distant and far? One day Swami was reading the newspaper, and one of the students was massaging his feet, and Swami took the newspaper aside and said, just now I was in your house in Mumbai, and I saw that your mother was crying in the kitchen while making breakfast. Your father was reading the newspaper in the balcony, and your mother is crying because daddy did not get leave to come to Puttaparthi, and that is why your mother is crying while making breakfast. And Swami said, I saw your entire house, and I saw even that white colored shoe rack at the entrance of the house. And he was wondering, hey, this white colored shoe rack I never myself only saw. Maybe my parents bought it in last few months' time. And after this particular instance, after nearly 10 years, Swami went to Mumbai for a particular festival. And after Mumbai, Swami had gone to another place, which is farther from in Maharashtra, where there was a beautiful temple of Bhagwan built. Hatsi. Swami had gone to Hatsi. And then Swami told this boy, your father has come. He is requesting me to send you home for a day. You go to your home and then come back. When he entered his house, he saw the white color churak. And he remembered. Said, Mom, 10 years back, Swami told me about it. That this churak has been bought by you. And I am seeing for the first time because I came so much after so many years. When did you buy it? And his parents said, just 2 months back. We bought this just 2 months back. And Swami saw it 10 years back. Right. So when Swami says that when you are with Bhagwan, when you are Bhagwan who knows your past, your present, your future, don't keep asking why. If I ask Swami 100 times, million times, Swami, you told me you'll give me an MBA seat. Swami, why not? Why not? Why not? Will it solve any answer? Will it give me any answer? No. It'll only cause self-agony and confusion and problems and pain on me. Isn't it? If I surrender to the will of God, if I surrender to His greater intelligence and what He knows about what is good for me, Swami says, you keep asking, come to the Kalpa Vriksha, the wish-fulfilling tree, and only ask for coffee powder. What is the point? This Kalpa Vriksha, Satya Sai Baba can grant you anything. But you don't ask for the right things because you never ask the right questions. One lady was a devotee of Bhagwan in US. She got Swami's handwriting analyzed from an expert and said, tell me about this person. And that person who evaluated said, this has to be God incarnation. This handwriting has to be of a God incarnate. It is not human. But this person is very sad. He said, how can God be sad? You are wrong in your interpretation. Yes, this is the handwriting of God only. But this person cannot be sad because he says, bliss is my food. That happiness is my own nature. Then how can he be sad? Then she came to Puttaparthi. Swami called her for an interview in a group. And she said, Swami, I got your handwriting evaluated with this expert who can tell about the person's character based upon the handwriting. And that person wrongly said that you are sad. And Swami said, no, she is not wrong. I am really sad. And she was surprised. And Swami, why should God be sad? And Swami said, if the mother cow with udders full of nectarine milk is waiting and the calf is playing in the cow dung all the time, will the mother cow feel happy or sad? Swami, the mother cow will feel the pain and she'll feel sad. Swami said, I want to give you the ultimate blessing of unending bliss and infinite peace, but you all come to me and ask me only for coffee powder sachet. Then what will the mother feel? I am also like 1,000 mothers to you. I also feel sad because you never ask the right questions. You ask, Swami, I want this, I want this. Swami, why this, why this? Why don't you ever ask me, Swami, how can we realize who we really are? Then I'll guide you. Swami, how we can meet the purpose of our life? Then I will guide you the right way. Swami, how we can achieve oneness with you? Then I will guide you. But you only ask me, Swami, why it never happened? Swami, why I did not get the career I wanted? Swami, why my relationship? Swami, why I became bankrupt? Swami, why I lost so much in life? Swami, why? If we ask why, how will we get the answers of life? If we don't accept the wisdom of God that whatever He is doing in our life, whatever has happened in the past is good for us, whatever is happening in the present moment is good for us, that whatever will happen in the future will be good for us, if we don't have that fundamental surrender, how will we ask the right questions? And I'll end with this experience which I'm not tired of telling. One day Swami said, if God tells you to follow only one teaching of His, what teaching will you follow from my life? He said, Swami, love all and serve all. Swami said, no. Help ever and hurt ever. Swami said, no. He said, Swami, you only tell us what is that fundamental. Swami said, I also follow that completely. I also follow that completely. You know, Swami is giving us incentive. That is a message for our life. And Swami said, if you only have to follow from all my teachings, only one teaching, that teaching is whatever happened in the past was the best for me. Whatever is happening now is the best for me. Whatever will happen in the future will be best for me. Surrender. Only then you will stop asking why. In Kodaikanal, one lady who has been with, was with Swami since her childhood. Swami used to play with her in Chitravati sands, and she was sitting in the back and we were all sitting in the front. And she said, Swami asked everybody, any questions? Swami said, yes Swami, I want to ask a question. And Swami said, what is your question? He said, Swami, how do we know that we are close to our spiritual goals? How do we self-evaluate ourselves that we are reaching the spiritual goal of our lives? For so many lifetimes and his lifetime, we have done so much, Swami, to serve, to do meditation, to do namasmarana, to do service, to follow your teachings. Swami, how close are we to the goal of our life? Swami said, as many less questions you ask, as many much more closer you are to the goal of your life. As many more questions you ask, as much farther you are from the goal of life. When you come near to me, when you come closer to me, you will stop asking questions, because a person who surrenders, he never questions. And the person who questions, he has never surrendered. The fundamental teaching of Swami is, ask the right question. And if possible, at the end, don't ask any question. Then all the questions will be answered, because till the time we are traveling, we will never reach the goal. Till the time we are asking, we will never have the answer. The time we are asking why, we will never know how. We just sit in silence and complete surrender to Bhagwan and say, Swami, I accept every broken relationship. I accept every failed goal. I accept every adverse circumstance. And from those all things that I failed and I was not able to keep up, Swami, I learned the lessons of how to be stable, how to be equanimous, how to love you with total surrender, how to accept everything and grow spiritually within myself. And then when we have this attitude and we continue with our sadhana, we will get to ask the final question, who am I? And once we even leave that question, we will know that I am I. Thank you for your very patient listening. We'll end with Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Satya Sai. You are the loving Lord of all faiths. Your cosmic form engulfs the entire universe. All forms are yours. All names are yours. Every heart that beats in the universe is yours. And Lord, I offer you my heart. With my humble pranams at the lotus feet of the Lord.
Sarva dharma priya deva. Sarva dharma priya deva. Satya Sai deva. Satya Sai deva. Allah Yesu, Buddha aur Nanak. Allah Yesu, Buddha aur Nanak.
Sai Deva.